The biggest stats that came out of signing the ETDA is that nearly 3 million trees are used every year when it comes to creating paper documents or trade.
There is actually more in a trade transaction. There are more data receivers than there are data providers, right, in a trade chain.
I'm Brian Kana, assistant editor at Trade Finance Global.
I'm Patrick Sekari, CEO of Inigo.
Welcome to Trade Finance Talks, your go-to trade, treasury, and payments podcast brought to you by TFG.
Hi, I'm Brian Kana, assistant editor at Trade Finance Global, and welcome to Trade Finance Talks. Digitalizing trade has been the talk of the industry for the past few years. For a long time, the question was simply, how do we digitalize trade? But now, with the passage of the ETDA in the UK and the progression of similar bills in countries such as the US, Germany, France, and Bahrain, the question isn't how we do it, it is what are the next steps? The next steps of the digitalization journey are vital, as the industry can't get complacent just because we succeeded in passing some laws. We need to make the laws work and build a better and more resilient industry. One of the key steps is understanding how to actually utilize the data that we get and how we can build deeper information on the back of digitalized data. That's why I'm happy to introduce Patrick Zecker, CEO of Inigo, who is here to help us break down the complex next steps of digitalizing trade. Patrick, welcome to Trade Finance Talks.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
To start off, please introduce yourself. Who are you? What is your background?
My name is Patrick Sekkar. I'm CEO of Inigo. We are a Swedish-based tech company focusing on the digital original documents, very suitable for trade transaction.
Let's kind of deeper into this whole process. So we want to go beyond the surface level of digital trade documents. How does Inigo gather the data from digital trade documents, and what are the next steps after obtaining this data?
That's a key question, because it needs to be easy to collect the data. The way trades originally set up is that it's a dock-in in the existing processes. You usually have any type of processes all usually divided into three phases. First, you have the application or request to do something. Second phase is you have a processing or operational step. And the third is the execution of a transaction. Trace originally docks into the execution phase in a very easy way, and that maintain the core process the same, but only changing the outcome, meaning going from paper to digital. We have a various possibility to dock in to the existing process. Either, you know, we do a full integration, or we do a couple of simple APIs, or you can even continue to produce the PDF and upload it to Trace Regional. Of course, you can do manual entries into the Trace Regional standalone module. So I think we have provided all the optionalities from manual to fully integrated. I think another part is also on how you do it in form of an either go from structured data to a document or from a document to structured data. Both way works.
I really appreciate you kind of diving into how this process works. But I think something that we hear quite often from individuals and companies is, you know, people are concerned about security. So how does Inigo ensure that the data gathered is actually secure and there are no privacy issues for the clients?
That's a fundamental part on how we have set up Trace Regional and where we difference from, I think, other providers in the market. For us, it's key that all data stays in the documents. We are a document-centric solution. So data is stored in documents nowhere else. There is no platform where data need to be uploaded and then downloaded by parties. So Inigo neither holds or have access to any data. It's only the one in possession in control of the document which controls the data also. And also the data sharing, of course, through the document. It's just like a paper, if you think about it. If you have a paper, you control it on the paper. Who do you share the paper with? Same logic applies here. And I think that's kind of neat, because then you do not have to be concerned of where is actually my data. And that has been a key issue, of course, for the industry.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part for us to educate the industry, because that is something that is relatively new, sharing data online, sharing data through transfer platforms. So I think it's important to continue to educate the industry about what we're doing to ensure security. Looking at the next steps, as you spoke about a bit earlier, how can you use this data that you're gathering to provide things like ESG metrics? You know, how does this work in an efficient way?
It's an important aspect There is actually more in a trade transaction. There are more data receivers than there are data providers, right? In a trade chain, so you have a couple of parties which actually provides the trade data, but you have a lot of parties that need to consume that data, and they do it for various purposes. Dig into ESG, which is one important aspect of how can you leverage Base Originals to obtain your ESG agenda. And I think this is a good example on where you merge the digital and the sustainable agenda in one. And the way you merge the digital agenda with the sustainable agenda is that the data in a trade document is rather comprehensive. You have to provide a lot of data in the set of trade documents. The challenge is to consume that data and extract part which is relevant for each party in an easy way. And that is what Trace Originals make possible with the structured data part on the back of the document. So for example, if we take ESG scoring, if you have a set of trade documents, the bill of lading with other attached documents, packaging list, invoices, certificates, etc., and you're able to capture these data points from the document, that's enabling you to do all types of scorings. You can do the carbon emission calculation, and you can actually do it for every single transaction independently. That is not something we have been able to do before. So with digitalizing the bill of lading and other trade documents, you have, first of all, an instant opportunity to score your single transaction. And that gives every party in the trade chain the possibility to see what type of transaction am I dealing with. Because we know the regulation is moving towards that you need to take responsibility and accountability for the ESG in the business you are handling. Even if you are a bank or if you're a corporate or if you are a shipper, all parties will have to take that responsibility and accountability. With now enabling the golden data, which we do with Trace Original, the golden trade data, the downstream application for ESG scoring model, which are very advanced AI-based scoring models, for example, for Scope 3 certificates, they have a huge opportunity to provide the certification of various scope demands, have the possibility to do it to a very detailed level. So this is an area which is super important and super interesting. So we are really keen to collaborate and work with artists here, which complement the knowledge, because we have focused on the digital documents. But the enablers downstreams, we think there's other party which are more and better equipped to do that. But we think it needs to be done in collaboration. So that's the way we approach it.
That's a really interesting point, because everyone thinks of ESG and digitalizing trade is mostly focused on the fact that we can save no paper documents. I know the biggest stats that came out of signing the ETDA is that nearly 3 million trees are used every year when it comes to creating paper documents or trade. But you make a good point that ESG can be heavily impacted by just the scoring metric using the data. So I think that's a fascinating point that we all need to keep in the forefront of our minds when we discuss the ESG subject.
Yeah, you know, you can look at it in levels, and you're right. I agree with you. The obvious direct effects on the environments, as you're saying, the consumption of natural resources and shipping these 4 billion trade documents around and with the carbon emissions, which comes with that. That's layer number one. And that's just something we need to get rid of. It's hygiene. But the second one is, you know, the goods need to be transported. We cannot avoid that. But being conscious on how we do things and also discover where do we have possibilities to improve the transport of the goods instantly, and also secure that we do the right things, we are in the right transactions. That's where the data part comes in.
Hey, enjoying this podcast? Hit that follow button for more.
International trade is not black and white. In between areas that we need to look at, and it may not be obvious, but there are certainly solutions that will help us become a better, more sustainable industry and planet. Thinking on more intangible areas, do you have any case studies from key trade stakeholders, and how can this process that we spoke about benefit all who are involved with the trade industry?
We're trying to be as open as possible by releasing information on both 2, 4, and 6 corner customer cases. And we hope shortly to release a 9-corner trade transaction showing the benefits. We should remember this is an evolution, and we need to do it in a safe environment. It's key. when you look at the direct efficiency gains, as you're saying, we already touched on the environmental aspects, and we can also prove significant efficiency gains, you know, time, speed, cost. I think all that is a layer which talks for itself. But if we go deeper than that, there are now starting to surface indirect efficiency gains. And this one is really exciting, because the possibilities to use the data, not just for instant singular ESD scoring with the help of electronic trade documents feeding an AI engine scoring model, but it's also the interaction here in the actual supply chain. You know, I'm talking about port authorities and customs authorities. You really have time for custom clearance. You have time to provide a better security inspections, risk-based assessments in custom controls using the AI technology, which is already developed, but access to the structured data, the golden source of data in the trade document, which these assessments are based on. Here we have huge possibilities, I think, to harvest even more benefits, which hasn't seen the light yet in an early stage, but very, very promising. Because the cost of having delays in custom clearance is huge. And if we can improve the possibilities for public authorities, not only custom, because they're feeding downstream data to all kind of authorities when an importing ship or import comes into jurisdiction, we can see massive potential. But it's still early days, must say.
So you already briefly mentioned the pain point when it comes to customs and port authorities and how it can be inefficient with the current system. So can you talk about some of the other main challenges involved in this process and how outside players, you know, like trade associations or governmental bodies can help with this process?
We know trade is a multi-party, international and fragmented industry, right? So there's a lot of parties to get onboarded here. And trade association and government, they play an important role. They play an important role because they need to get the awareness up. They have been fundamental in driving the change, which we're seeing happening now. If I could ask something, then I would ask for some more help to take away the daily roadblocks, some more hands-on support. Hands-on support, we're dealing with authorities involved in trade. Help us to shorten the lead time there to get involved. It's a distance between conferences and daily reality, right? When you are talking to a custom authority or a port authority in order to secure that they feel comfortable accepting this. We all do it for a good purpose. It comes with a lot of society benefits. So everyone wants it to happen, but we cannot let it take too long time. So if we want to speed the process up, I think it's time, in the end of the day, it's down in at the ground where people need to change, and we need to go together and do that change. So let's work on the cases, the actual in our everyday life where we need to get them engaged. We create the awareness on conferences, but we also need to go low level and get down to the mud.
Thank you very much, Patrick. And that is absolutely one next step that we need to look at and how we can all come together and be more efficient with how we work with each other. But additionally, you know, looking at the next 5 years or so, what are the exciting next steps that you see for the industry?
As mentioned before, I think exciting and very encouraging development is how we mature and develop in using the data downstreams. The data which is now possible to get in a usable, flexible, and controllable form, it releases a goldmine for downstreams application like AIs to harvest in different cases. And it both benefits the public and the private sector that getting access to the data in a controlled form, usable form, in a flexible form, gives that opportunity, which I think is really what's going to make the industry take a huge step forward.
Hope is important for all of us to have all walks of life. And your last answer there gave me a bit of hope about the progress of digitalizing trade and how we can become a better, more efficient, sustainable industry. Patrick, thank you very much for giving us all these insights and for joining us on Trade Finance Talks.
Thank you very much, Brian.